Listen, I was teaching John 14, 15, 16, and 17 in 1998, and I thought I knew what it said, and I thought I was dwelling in it. But as you begin to see and understand the revelation of these words, it's going to have a tremendous impact upon your life, because there are certain things the Lord himself, he cannot lie, is promising. If you grasp a hold of what he's saying, you have to see what he's saying. We have to understand what he's saying. The first thing he begins to talk about is, my Father's house, there's many dwelling places. I'm going to go prepare one for you, a place. I'm going to come back and get you, and I'm going to bring you to where I am in the Father. I came from the bosom of the Father. I'm going back to the bosom of the Father by way of the cross, but I'm going to bring you into that place. And then Philip, of course, said, show us the Father. Because the Lord rebuked him, and the Father spoke directly through the Lord. He said, have I not been with you all this time, Philip? I mean, the Father just spoke through the Lord. He said, what do you mean, show us the Father? Then the Lord begins to say something remarkable. And these words, what he said, are incredibly important to understand where God wants to bring this generation. He said, do you not know, Philip, that I dwell in my Father and my Father dwells in me? The works that I do, it's not I that doeth, but my Father's doing these works. And we looked all through the book of John. And that first series, we saw some of the works that were done, and we could see the Father and every one of them. The Lord was giving glory to his Father. He says, I worketh, and my Father worketh hitherto. We saw the raising of the Lazarus was done by the Father. So we saw a lot of these different operations. And one of the key ingredient or missing element, I would say, of the church today, because the church is very, very, very focused in on the Holy Spirit and the operation of the Holy Spirit, and they should be. But when you see the fullness of the Lord's mantle, he said he went about doing good, being anointed of the Holy Ghost, destroying all the works of the devil, for the Father God was with him. You see all three of them present. And when we get all three of them present in the operation in the church, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, then we're going to see what we're looking for. Amen? And that's what God's training for us. He says, do you not know that I dwell? He goes, you need to grasp this, Philip, that I dwell in my Father, and my Father dwell in me. He says, he that believeth on me, he that believeth and understand this, the works that I do, he's going to do also. He's not talking about the minor works. He's talking about the majors. Say the majors, what everyone's looking for, that very few seem to have. Unless you're in the jungles of South America somewhere and it's flowing, but God's going to bring a whole generation. Not one or two, a whole generation is going to be trained to operate in that. He said, in that day, you're going to know. Then he brings you into the equation. Say, in that day, which is this day. He was talking about the day he'd go to the cross and bring you to where he was. You're going to know that you're dwelling, that I dwell in my Father where he is, and you dwell in me. You're going to understand. I'm going to bring you into the oneness. I'm going to bring you into the union. Then you'll understand. Because in that day, because in John 17, he goes on and says, in that day, my Father, you will dwell in me, and I will dwell in the Father, and my Father will dwell in you. Say, in that day. He said, he that keepeth my words, my Father will love him, and he will come and dwell. He said, my Father and I will come and dwell with you in the earth, promising you the same operation that he had. That's what mystery of John 14, 15, 16, and 17, the mystery of how to operate the way he operated. The anointing without measure. Say without measure. That's the generation that we live in. A whole generation is going to function. I'm not saying everybody in the body of Christ is going to function like that, but a whole generation is going to function because he gave the keys and the mystery. Then he said something, which the present series we're in now, He also said this, and, say and. He goes, the works that I do, you will do also. Boy, if we could just attain that, that would be glorious, huh? There'd be a lot less suffering people out there for certain. He says, and whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it. So that was a whole nother operation he began to introduce. He talked about the operation of the kingdom of God with you in the earth, operating in your function with the kingdom of God, and being able to pray and understand and know your Father. Say, know your Father. To the degree you could ask the Father, and he would answer you. Jesus himself said, I will do it for you. And there's a whole mystery in that. Say, mystery. If we are praying for 10 and 20 and 30 and 40 years for something, and we're not getting the answer, I'm quite certain it's not God's fault. It's because we don't understand how it works. When we understand how it works, we're going to get the results that we're looking for. Amen? Well, the mystery of answered prayer is beginning to open up in a glorious way. I began to introduce some of this on Sunday. We talked about the position of prayer. Prayer is a position first. We know the position. When you pray, enter into the sanctuary, you enter sanctuary, secret place, shut the door. Go through the door and shut the door and pray to your Father in the secret place. Well, Jesus, in John 16, picked up that very part. He said in the day, he said it like this. He goes, in the day, he goes, now I'm talking to you in Proverbs. I'm giving you words right now, and you don't even understand what I'm giving you. But I'm going to give it to you because I have to release it. And my Holy Spirit's going to come and explain it to you. That's what he said to them, because they didn't understand a thing in the world. They were going, what does he mean in a little while? In a little while, I'm going to go. And in a little while, you won't see me. In a little while, you will see me. He keeps saying a little while. What's he mean by that? And they're asking each other. I mean, that's like the blind leading the blind. They're asking each other, what's he talking about? He says, do you inquire what I'm saying to you? In a little while, I'm going to leave. In a little while, you won't see me. In a little while, you will see me. They didn't understand, but he still released the words anyway. He gave them the words. And once they were released, the Holy Spirit was authorized then to explain it to him. He said, I'm not going to leave you orphan. I'm going to send my Holy Spirit, and he's going to reveal, and he's going to explain all this to you. Everyone say, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Now listen, when the Holy Ghost is explaining things, the level he's explaining them, we have to lower the veil. Amen? If you're getting all the results you presently want from the kingdom of God, you don't need to be in this service. We need to be in your service. Amen? But I don't know about you, but I'm not getting the result. It's not because we're not diligent to seek God. I mean, you wouldn't be at this church if you weren't diligent to seek God. I mean, we are diligently seeking God. We want the results that Jesus promised. Jesus cannot promise something and it not work the way he said it would work, because he can't lie. We just need to understand what he's saying. And we need the Holy Ghost to teach us what he's saying. And he said, listen, you're going to need the Holy Ghost. I would say, thank you, Holy Ghost. He's a marvelous teacher. Glory to God. He's very thorough, too. He's extremely thorough. He wants to make sure you get the point. Amen? But Jesus said it like this. In that day, I'm talking to you in Proverbs, but in that day, I'm going to openly reveal the Father to you. I'm going to show you the Father where I am. And you have to understand, when he said that, in John 16, he was coming off John 14 and 15. He was talking about being where he was. He goes, on that day, I'm going to reveal the Father to you. What he wasn't saying, that day, I'm going to come to you where you are in the earth, and we're going to reveal the Father, and we're going to love you, and you're going to pray from the earth to the Father. He didn't say that. He said, that day, I'm going to bring you to where I am. Father, I will they be where I am, that they may behold my glory that I have with you. And I'm going to reveal the Father. See the position? Then you're going to pray. Then you'll pray in my name. Say then. Then it's going to work for you. I'm like, well, why do we have to make this journey? But you see it all through the Old Testament, the same thing. They always had to go to Zion. They went up to the temple to pray. Sometimes people made long journeys to go up. Moses never just stood there. He went into the tabernacle before he prayed. And then if it was the big stuff, he had to go into the mountain. You see that? There was position threaded throughout. Once we understand position, we're going to get better result. Amen. Then we talked about in the name, because Jesus said, if you pray in my name, I will do it. Then he says, if you pray in my name, my Father will give it to you. We started looking at what it meant to pray in his name. Praying in his name where he was not just saying, Father, I ask you for this new church building in Jesus' name. Amen. What he's working right now in me, glory to God, but doesn't require me baiting God. I don't have to do something. I need faith. It's a different kind of faith. Praying in the name without spending too much time, we started looking at what was going on there. God, the Father, restored everything. So he restored everything. Jesus was the final Adam. So he restored the inheritance with him. When he restored the inheritance, he restored it. He gave him a name above every name, and he put the whole inheritance in his name in heavenly places, under his authority, under his name, all spiritual blessings in heavenly place in Christ. See that? All power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. All that the Father has is mine. Daniel saw him go up before the throne of God, and there was given unto him a kingdom and nations. All that was given to him in his resurrection. It was given to him on your behalf. That's why he said, when you pray, pray thy will be done on the earth as it is already done in heaven. Now, this is the thing you understand about prayer. The will of the Father has been 100% accomplished already in heaven. Jesus has accomplished the will of the Father. There's nothing left to do in heaven. The righteous of faith speaking on this wise, say not in your heart, who's going to bring him back down again? Let's do it all over. It wasn't enough the first time. We got to do it all over again. He said, it doesn't speak like that. The righteous of faith is settled. The will of the Father's been done. It's all been laid up in the name of Jesus, your inheritance. So when you're praying in the name, you're not just saying the name. You're praying for what's in that name. And if you don't know what's in that name, God's given you a Holy Spirit to teach you what's in that name. He says, all the Father has of mine, therefore I said unto you, he will receive of everything the Father has given to me, and he's going to show it to you, because you're going to need to know what's in my name if you're going to pray effectively. You got to know what the Father has given me on your behalf. I, Jesus, hold, not me, but him, hold your inheritance. Then you got enemies that you don't realize that try to keep you from that inheritance, to get you to do it yourself. There are systems. Until you graduate and understand how systems of the world work, they are sent to control your life, to keep you from ever entering and accessing that system. Those systems are designed to keep your allegiance to the world and its systems. And they're designed to keep you from ever going and understanding how to appropriate and receive an inheritance from above. But we're going to get it. There's healing in the name. We're going to learn how to receive healing from the name. There's glory. There's power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessings. The seven inheritances the Lamb has received is all in the name. Isn't that glorious that we have an inheritance? That's just glorious. If someone called you, an attorney called you and said, listen, somebody, a distant relative, just left you an inheritance, you'd be throwing a conniption fit. You'd be like, whoa! And yet, the whole time, there has been an inheritance laid up for all of us. It's just we haven't learned to apprehend it. That's what this church is presently about right now. How to receive what has been done. How do you receive what has been done? There's not time for these things. God never said that about in the Lord's Prayer. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on the earth is his will. As it's already been done in heaven, the Father's will is for it to be done on the earth. Okay, so here we are. The reason why he wanted us to pray after finding the love of the Father, because the love of the Father, it recalculates your entire inner being. It restructures you. It changes everything, changes your perceptions of the Father. His love just fills you. He leaves you so full. He leaves you so gloriously at rest. There's no unbelief. There's no doubt. There's no wondering. There's no disharmony there. There's no separation. The Lord never wanted you to pray to a father that was separated 10,000 miles from you. Like when you pray from the earth and you need God, he feels so distant. See all that unbelief that's between you? All that stuff? All that separation? You're feeling, I don't even know if he's going to hear me, but I'm going to pray anyway. You're not with him. When you're with him, you don't think like that. Because when you're with him, there is no separation. That's what Jesus was doing. He's bringing you into the oneness. So there's no separation. You can freely receive from him. Amen? It makes receiving a lot easier. So it moves us to the next level of the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come. How does that kingdom transfer? How does it transfer to the earth? Well, the first thing you need to understand, first thing is 100%. The will of God has been accomplished. Can we all agree with that? Does anybody believe that Jesus needs to come back and hang on the cross again? So what he did was enough in his death, burial, and resurrection to restore everything you and I could possibly need. Amen? But I want you to go to Philippians 4:19. Hebrews 1 says this, God has spoken to us by his son, his brand new heir, no longer speaking through the Adamic race. He's speaking now through his son, whom he appointed, say appointed, heir of all things. You know what an heir is? That means everything in that kingdom belongs to him. That means all, everything. Now, Jesus is a remarkable heir because he's like any other heir. He's not like any other heir. He shares his throne, his inheritance, and all the Father's given him. He shares it with you freely. In fact, Hebrews said he's not even ashamed to call you a brother. He goes, come and sit with me. We're going to sit as brothers here. We're brothers in our Father's kingdom. He's your Lord. He's your master. He's your Savior. But he's also joint heir brother. Because you're brother and sister with him in joint heirship. He's not ashamed to call you a brother. And he, in Romans 8 says, you're a joint heir with him. He freely gives you what he has. And he's got a lot. It's not a matter of what he's got. It's a matter of how do we get what's there here. Amen. And Ephesians said, we've been blessed. Say, we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Man, I wish he'd have put all that blessing here on us like he did Adam. He can't. The devil would steal everything from you. If he stole it from Adam when he was walking with God, what do you think he would do when he has a legal lease in the earth? He would steal it all. God in his genius plan had put all that inheritance away from the enemy and you could grow up and go get it. But he gave you the access, and that's what the church must do. I'm like, I'm watching TV. I'm like, is anybody ever going to say anything about the right hand of God? So he's appointed heir. So we know the will of the Father has been accomplished. Number two, the will of the Father, everything, your present inheritance that you're not walking in, put it this way, is in a 100% spiritual state. Your present inheritance that hasn't presently been given to you is in a 100% spiritual state in the right hand of God. It's, say, 100% spiritual. You can squint your eyes when you say that. It's 100% spiritual. It's spiritual. It's going to have to come down, and it's going to have to be converted. Now, we need to take the woo and the ee-oo and the all out of this, but there must be a conversion when you're asking God, thy kingdom come, and he says, it's my good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's coming from a spiritual state that has to be converted, and it's got to come through you. So there's some things that are going to happen here that we need to understand. If we don't understand, we're not going to get the flow. Amen? And we're going to keep getting the same results we're getting. So Philippians 4:19 is a very, very powerful verse. I love this verse. I'm going to read from the Amplified, Philippians 4:19. My God will liberally supply. Say liberally supply. I'm like, are we talking about the same God? I've been pastoring quite a while. I'd like to see, not just myself, but just with the people too, the liberal supply of God. My God will liberally, say liberally, supply your every need. Does anybody have a need in here? I mean, don't give me a faith statement. If you have a need, just raise your hand. We hadn't even gotten to wants or desires yet. We're just still in the need. Don't go to the want or desire. The Lord willing, He loves you enough to meet your need, but don't get into the want. Don't get into the want or the desire. And if you desire something, He gives you the desires of the heart. They better be related to missions. Don't you be desiring anything. I am kidding. All right, Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply your every need. Now, notice where my God supplies your every need from. According to His riches in what? In where? In glory in Christ. He always does that. I bless you with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Then He tells you exactly where it is in heavenly places. It's in Christ. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory in Christ. It's not just floating around there. You just go grab something. It's all centrally located in the name. My God will supply all your need according to His riches and glory. It's not stuff floating around there. Just go up there and grab what you want. It's all centrally located in the name. He put it all in the name. That's why you pray in His name, through His name. You're going to receive what the Father has put in that heavenly trust account, the name of Jesus. That's where you're going to receive it from. The Father, here's principle number 3 or 4. The Father only transacts in and through the name of Jesus. That's the only transaction you're going to get. The Father will not bypass Christ. He will not bypass His name. If your kingdom's coming, it's coming through that name. All right? And it's coming as spiritual. Okay, notice that. My God will supply all your needs, so need will be something earthly, but he's supplying it out of something heavenly that's in the name of Jesus. There's a substance there that's in the name of Jesus. Are we seeing it now? So Jesus said, if you'll pray in my name, I will do it. Boy, there's a revelation there. When we're praying, because my Father's going to bless you, it's going to come out of Christ. There's going to be a conversion somewhere along the way. It's going to come all the way down and convert into the natural. How that conversion happens is what we must understand as this generation. We must understand what is in the name. Some people have a little bit of vision for what's in that name, and some people have got a lot of vision for what's in that name. The nations are in His name. The Father gave Him the nations. The nations is His inheritance. There was given to a kingdom and a glory in nations as soon as He ascended before the Ancient of Days. Daniel 7. There's a lot in the name. We're not going to get into all that's in the name. What we're wanting to know is how does that 100% spiritual inheritance get converted down here? How does the Father release it? What is the role of the Holy Spirit? What is the role of Jesus? What is your role? What is the role of the Father? How does that spiritual substance that's in His name, or inheritance, spiritual blessing, whatever you want to call it, how is that spiritual substance going to get here into there? Because when you understand that, there's not a university in the world can teach you that. But Jesus can teach it to you. And there's not a university in the world can give you that. That kind of education coming from the Holy Ghost will provide a security for you and your generations after you. And that's what we're looking for, especially in the turbulent times we're about to enter in. Listen, don't think things are going to get easy. They're going to get turbulent, but they're going to get glorious because the body of Christ, the remnant, is going to come on up. And though there may be turbulence in the earth, there's going to be glory in the high places. In the high places. God will have a people who will know their God, and they will do exploits, and they will not be afraid of what's coming because we represent and serve another kingdom. But we must get past the spiritual jargon of the kingdom, and we must understand how that kingdom works so we can be fully prepared for any season that comes upon us. The kingdom can work in any economy. It can work in any country. It can work in any nation. It worked for Jesus when the Jews were under Roman occupation, and they were fierce, barbaric. And it worked for him just fine. So much so that, I mean, the first thing he did when he came into Capernaum, he manifested his glory on the seas and filled those boats with fish. And Peter was astonished beyond astonished. And these were fishermen, and all that were with him, they do this for a living. He totally astonished them with one manifestation of the kingdom. He said, follow me. For 3.5 years, you'll follow me. But there's your paycheck for your families. Your families are provided for 3.5 years. Come and follow me. Wow. We don't think like that. You're not going to get any kind of positive thinking to get you to manifest something like that. He was operating from another place. We must learn to operate from another place. Amen. So he supplies all our need. Want to shift now. I want to get into some nuts and bolts of how we understand now kingdom of heaven, the will of God has been accomplished. We understand that the will of God in Christ, 100% spiritual, it's been accomplished in Christ. It's a 100% spiritual substance, operation, inheritance. It's in his name. The will of God's been done. The will of God's, it is the Father's will for that inheritance that's been placed above so the enemy cannot steal it. That's the number one reason he did it, because the enemy had a legal lease. He put it above the enemy. Now listen to this. I've been saying this, and some of you are getting this and some of you are not. He changed the dynamic of the way you pray. He changed the whole dynamic of the way we pray. When you get this and understand that even though Daniel, man, what a glorious prayer warrior, to have two archangels assigned to his prayers, your prayers are higher and more effective than his. He had two archangels assigned to him, Gabriel and Michael. Michael withstood the prince of Persia for 21 days, and then Gabriel broke through and delivered the prayer. And he said, Daniel, I heard you from the first day, but they had to get that stuff down through second heaven warfare. You and me do not have to operate like that. The Father changed all that. Jesus changed all that. It does require a bit of a renewing of the mind. Why do you think Jesus said, in that day that I reveal the Father to you? Now, where is he revealing him to you? Where he is, in the right hand of God. Where are you praying from? Right hand of God. Where are you praying when you say, my Father, hallowed be thy name, you're my Father. Oh, you're my Father, you embrace me. Oh, that can go on for hours. Hallowed be thy name. That's a glorious experience. That's more than a recital. When you're first getting started, you just don't say kingdom come. You got to use faith. Faith opens you. Only thing I do is just do the same thing. I'm just sitting there in faith. I believe I receive. I'm in the receiving mode when I'm with him. But when I'm in his love, he said, we're going to have to move now. It's time to work on this. My point is, when you say, my Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It's not my Father, which I never have by thy name. It's you're in a love affair for 2 hours with him. That one verse can be the mainstay of your whole life. And he's loving you. Jesus has introduced him to you, and you're full, and it's glorious. And now it's time for kingdom come. It's time for the shift. It's time to get what's in the name of Jesus into the earth. Okay, so that's where we are now. Amen? So now we're going to go to the next part of the prayer. Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done upon the earth as it is in heaven. Where are you praying that from? In his jurisdiction, one-on-one with the Father. When you say thy kingdom come, when the Bible says it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. when he says pray, Jesus said, do not pray to me. You pray to the Father in my name. Where are you praying from? He specifically tells you. The day I reveal the Father and I bring you into where I am and the oneness, you're going to pray to the Father from that place and you're going to pray for my name and the Father is going to give it to you. He says, my Father will give it to you. What is the Father giving you? So, understand all that culmination. John 14, 15 said, position, you're in the Father, thy kingdom come. Jesus said, now don't pray to me. When I reveal the Father to you, when I bring you to where we are in the Father, and I open the love to you, pray and ask for what's in my name. Ask what's in my name. Ask for that, and my Father will give it to you. So the Father's going to give you what's in the name, which is what? A 100% spiritual substance. Whatever you want to call it, it's coming from that name. It's not natural. Can we agree with that? So the Father's going to transact from the name, but he's going to give you something. He's going to give it to who? He says he's going to give it to you. In fact, Mark 11 said, have faith in God, and when you stand praying, believe that you, who? Receive, and what? You shall have. Two things going on there. You receive something that's going to allow you to have something in the earth. See the transference? Hallelujah. He says, when you pray in my name, my Father will give it to you. John 16. He'll give it to you. What's he given you? He's given you something that's in the name. It's an inheritance that will equate to something in the natural, but he's not giving you something natural. He's because you're transacting in the spirit. Say spirit. It's his first a spiritual transaction. Then you got the Lord's part too, because he says, if you ask in my name, I will do it. Go to Romans 1. So Romans 1:20. He said, for the invisible things of him, you could say the spiritually invisible things. Would you agree with that? The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even as what? Eternal, dunamis, power, and Godhead. So, the invisible substance, spiritual substance, that you cannot see was employed in the creation of all things. Every tree, land, oceans, atmosphere, stars, moon, everything that was seen was made by the Godhead employing a spiritual substance called dunamis. Say dunamis. Dunamis is power, dunamis is essence, dunamis is substance. Dunamis is the spiritual creative substance by which the Lord Jesus himself created the entire world. The Father spoke it, but as soon as he did, the Lord set in motion working with his Holy Spirit. Because the Bible says in John, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and what all things were made by him. Jesus was the Word creating the earth. Say creator. That was his job. He was the creator. And he created, he being invisible too, created with an invisible spiritual substance called dunamis and the Holy Spirit. They were working that together. When the Father spoke it, the Lord went into creative mode with an invisible substance. He says, you can't see it, but you can see the result of it. You can't see your inheritance that's in the name of Jesus, but you can see the result of it once it shows up in the earth. Because there's a conversion of invisible to visible. There's a conversion to spiritual to natural. There is a conversion process. And that conversion process is going to be authorized by the Father from the name of Jesus. And it's going to get transferred to you. You're going to carry it. Why? Because God needs a legal transfer. And God doesn't like dealing with second heaven interference in a third heaven covenant. Why should he? If he put your inheritance in the right hand of God and gave you access to it, why should there be a second heaven interference? So the Father transfers the substance called dunamis from the name of Jesus to you. That's why he said, you believe, you receive. Well, this is a little heavy. Believe, you receive. John 14, 15, 16, and 17 is very heavy. That's why he gave it to his apostles. Their heads were spinning. So he said, you believe, you receive. So you receive. Then you come back down into this jurisdiction. You're carrying something. You know, the men of old that were full of the glory of God, things started happening because they were full of something. Stephen was what? Full of faith and dunamis, creative power, and miracles were flowing everywhere. He brought something down from above. And when it was here, guess what? The Lord says, oh, this is the building matter I build all things with. The Father has authorized the transaction from my name. I see that. I will now do this for you. I am authorized to perform this. And he, working with his Holy Spirit and the allocation that came from the name of Jesus, will authorize the demonstration and manifestation of your prayer that you prayed before the Father. That's the mystery of the kingdom. I'm going to close this. 2 Peter 1 and 3. According to his divine power, dunamis, say dunamis, have given unto us all things that pertain to what? Life and godliness. Do you know that every mighty work in the New Testament, the word for mighty works was one word, dunamis. Every mighty work that the Holy Spirit performed through the Lord was done with dunamis. It said the dunamis power, what? Was present to heal, present in the earth. Remember the woman with the issue of the blood? And dunamis virtue flowed out of him. Dunamis flowed out of him. It was a spiritual substance that was converted by the Holy Spirit. That's his specialty, by the way. He converted the dunamis into a natural manifestation. It says, virtue flowed out of him and he healed them all like a river. The dunamis flowed out of him and the Holy Spirit was converting the dunamis into natural manifestation. That's what he does. The Lord's authorized. The Father authorizes the transaction. The Lord is working. That's how they work. That's how it works. That's why when Stephen was full of faith and dunamis power, they were full of the Holy Ghost. And the Lord Jesus was constantly manifesting around them because they were carrying the glory of heaven. When Peter walked down the street in the cloud, that was glory. That was full of heaven. He wasn't healing. The Lord was healing. The Father was healing. The Holy Ghost. But if they were walking around with nothing on them, nothing's going to happen. We're going to be full in this hour. Say full. We need full. Full of the invisible substance by which God creates all things. The glory, we get to be carriers. That's our joy. We're carriers of the inheritance, receptors of the inheritance, receptors of the glory. We get to carry. He gets to manifest. Amen? That's when Peter stood before the man at Gate Beautiful. He says, silver and gold have another, but what I have, it was on him. It was with him. We're going to get heaven down to earth. Amen? Holy Spirit definition of dunamis power. I love this. The creative substance of divine essence and power that works in conjunction with the Word, of which Jesus and the Holy Spirit employs to tangibly manifest the invisible kingdom of God in the earth. There must be a transference from the name to you. And then the Lord says, I will do it. You're not going to do it. He's going to do it. Amen? But Ephesians 3, and we'll close with this. This is what the early church understood and how they walked and what they walked. They understood how to receive. They understood the position Jesus taught it to them. They understood how to get into the glory. All right, Ephesians 3. Look at verse 14. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father. Now, Paul just taught Jesus' ascension to the right hand of God in chapter 1. He talked about your ascension into the right hand of God in chapter 2, seated above. Talked about your position being seated with Christ in heavenly places. Amen? He's talked about seated together. And then he says, for this cause I bow my knees. Do you think he's bowing his knees in the earth, or you think he's in position with the Father? He just talked about position. He talked about inheritance, being adopted into royalty, having a position in the right hand of God. He's telling them all this time, position, position, position. Then he's telling them, okay, here's a prayer. So he's in position. He moves into position to pray. Now watch this. Watch what he prays. Now remember, dunamis is not one thing. Dunamis is universal spiritual substance by which God employs to manifest the entire kingdom of God in the earth. That's what the Father's going to give you, by the way. When you want to believe or you receive, no matter what you're asking for, God the Father is going to give you the substance of dunamis that the Lord's going to employ to manifest into the earth with the Holy Spirit. That's the mystery of prayer. You're going to have to see manifestation. I can see it right now. I see it. I believe it. But we're going to see manifestation. You'll see. You're going to see the manifestation. He says, listen, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things the Gentiles seek will be freely added. What does that mean to you, seek first the kingdom? Well, he's saying, seek first to operate in the kingdom. Don't spend your whole life operating the systems of the world, seeking what the Gentiles. Learn to operate in my kingdom. Put that as the highest priority of your life. Make it the pearl of great price, the treasure hidden in the field. Seek the operation of my kingdom. And once you get it, and once you understand how it works, all that stuff's going to be freely added to you. And the Father's going to employ you for the kingdom. So listen, verse 16. Now, so he's going to pray the Father. No, he's praying to the Father. He says, to grant you, say grant you, according, listen to these verses very carefully, according to the riches of his glory. So you're praying according to the riches of glory in Christ, right? Grant me a distribution from the riches and glory. And here he's talking about strength, to be strengthened with might, which is dunamis, by his Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to perform the transaction. Into what? Your inner man. Say your inner man. You see that? Transfers from the name of Jesus into your inner man. Now watch this. Now here he's talking about that Christ may dwell in you. You should pray that every time, every day. That dunamis equates to the indwelling of Christ. Now look at verse 20. Watch here. Now unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above, I can't wait to get all this, exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Say ask or think. According to the dunamis that's working where? In us. Now God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. According to the dunamis that gets transferred and starts working, say working, in us. He created the whole world with it. We are carriers of the dunamis. We are receptors of the dunamis. Your prayer life is going to take a whole brand new operation. When you go to the Father, whatever you're praying for, the Father's going to give you the dunamis. The Father's going to give you the dunamis from the name of Jesus according to what you're praying for. And he's going to transfer it by his Spirit into your inner man from the name of Jesus. You're going to get the deposit. And you're going to carry it down, bypassing second heaven devils, bypassing second heaven warfare. Now the dunamis is, you're full of faith in dunamis. It's working where? In you. And then the Lord says, I will now do it. He promises you he will perform it. The Lord Jesus himself working with his Holy Spirit. using the invisible substance the Father authorized the transaction from the name of Jesus, and they will begin to manifest the kingdom of God on your behalf. That's what we need, is a whole lot of dunamis. I'm closing with this. Inheritance of Christ. It doesn't matter what he inherited. It comes out of his name in a substance called dunamis. It's a spiritual substance the Father allocates. He's going to allocate it to you. You're using the faith to come into the rest. You're using your faith to come into union. You're using your faith to enter. You see that? You're entering, you're accessing. You're entering, you're accessing. Your faith is moving. You don't work for love, you enter into love. You don't work for love, you enter into it. And you're entering, because sometimes it takes faith when you're not feeling lovely. But once you get there, and once you're loved and you start feeling lovely, once you've been loved, say you've been loved. He goes, you keep my words, my Father will love you. You keep these words, I'll bring you to where I am. So now what happens? I'm loved. And then if you can ever get out of love, which is not easy to do, you start receiving from the Father now. I'm not in entering mode anymore. I'm receiving mode. All that faith I used for enter, all the years of using that faith, now I can freely enter what was very hard to do. Now it's very easy to do. That's what faith does. He makes what's difficult. Faith makes what's difficult easy. Once you employ it enough, it makes what's difficult easy. Do you hear me? Now I'm in receiving mode. I'm not going this way. I'm receiving. The reason why you need to be loved is because God is going to remove your receiving issues. Because a lot of us have receiving issues. How many of you can give freely, but when it comes to receiving, man, you got some serious stuff. He's going to remove your receiving issues so you can freely, what he says, my Father, good pleasure to what? Give you the kingdom. He that spared not his only son, how shall you not along with him freely, say freely, give you the kingdom. You have to use your faith, and you have to start aligning your faith with what God's saying about that. It's your Father's good pleasure. No good thing will he withhold from you. Because when you're receiving, you'll think nothing's happened. You kind of start agreeing with the word and start, I just agree with it every day. I said, no. He that spared not his only son, how shall you not, Father, freely give me all things. No good thing do you withhold from me. Let's give him glory. Hallelujah.